Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What is going on? You're listening to episode 295 of the Nintendo PowerCast. I'm your host, N64 Josh, player 280. What's up, dude?
Hey, what's going on? And what is up, NPC fam? It is your boy, 80, your hero.
Player 3, Crawler, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going? It's Crawl coming at you.
That music you just heard is from On Being Human. You can check them out on Spotify and YouTube. Remember, this is an unofficial Nintendo podcast. And if you'd like to get my book, Another Castle, the paperback, head on over to n64josh.com/anothercastle. You want me to read it to you? You're in luck. n64josh.com/audible. And it's free if you've never signed up before. If you are an Audible member, I think it's like under $5, right around. So you can go check it out. Oh, also, the book is... The book's got a price drop. It's $9.99 now instead of $11.99. So, you know, if you want to check it out, n64josh.com/anothercastle. The Satisfy Grip. You guys are going to hear me talk about this a lot, but I've been playing handheld Fortnite, and this has been saving my hands. I tried to play it without, and it's not working. So if you want your Switch to kind of feel like a pro controller, head on over to n64josh.com/switchgrip. All right. And I'm building a store on Amazon. Now, this store is meant to be a resource, and it's actually started coming in very, very handy because I always have people ask me, what gear do you use for content creation? What games do you recommend for kids? What are some of the must-own Switch titles? All of that stuff is in this store. I'm even going through, I have to refine the list a little bit, but I'm putting together a Black Friday deals, so it should include Cyber Monday, but all of the games, Nintendo has a list of games that are going to be on sale. They have a Mario Kart console coming out, a Mario Kart bundle.
Bundle.
And so you'll get the new Switch model, Mario Kart, and 3 months of Nintendo Switch Online for $2.99. So I'm going to have all of these things at n64josh.com/Amazon. So accessories, you know, third-party controllers, screen protectors. I'm almost daily adding to this list so that you guys you guys can get the goods that you know I trust or that I use or that even these guys use. So it's good stuff. Hopefully it's a resource for you. So n64josh.com/Amazon. With that, let's get to the announcements.
Hey, listen.
The Animal Crossing podcast is... I believe it's actually going to go weekly. Another episode just dropped today, so you can go and check that out if you want to hear more Animal Crossing talk.
So do you have a new co-host on that one?
I think so. It's not like 100% official, but I think so. Okay. Belle of Disney has joined Jen and I on the Animal Crossing podcast, so it's been a good time. Smash Bros. Tournament is going to be the 21st of November. n64josh.com/smash to sign up for that. Remember, there's a $20 Amazon gift card for first place and $10 for second. Smash Bros. Cast, Crawler and I are going to record an episode here very soon. Very soon. I've got Mario Kart happening Mondays and Fridays, twitch.tv/n64josh around 6. I am streaming a lot more starting in the afternoons, usually around 3 or maybe a little earlier. And it's a mix of Animal Crossing, Pokemon, Smash. You know, so, and we're kind of mixing it up midstream. Like today I played Pokemon because I was given homework for a piece of content that I'm working on and got that completed. And then I played Smash with viewers. And so
you never know, Josh might relapse into Destiny here. I'm working on it.
Yeah. He's dangling the carrot. So it might happen. But as far as YouTube guys, I have a handful of things coming out. I've got some Smash Bros. Gameplay with no commentary. There's Mario Kart gameplay with no commentary. There's Animal Crossing, like just chill music and nature sounds. If you're looking for, you know, just something to put on in the background while you're like you're studying, trying to fall asleep. And we were just talking about YouTube ads and stuff. There are no ads in the middle of these Animal Crossing chill. They're only a half hour long, but there are no ads that are going to stop in the middle. So just the beginning and the end. So hopefully that helps some. And I'm working on a Pokemon competitive guide. That was the homework I had to get done. The third video in this for this guide is going to be made tomorrow. And it's going to be all about breeding Pokemon. So if you're interested in learning about that in order to build your team, that's what we're
watching Josh learn about that.
Right. Yeah. That's literally what it is. Like I'm just playing the, I'm a noob at this. And so you get to be a crash test dummy with me. And, Carpet is helping me out with that. He's in the Discord and, he knows his stuff and he's played at some, I believe at even local tournaments and done very well. And he's kind of new to the scene also. So I'm pretty excited to learn about that. We have the Smash Bros. League is happening. It's going to be similar to a bowling league, but with Smash Bros. So all skill levels are welcome. And we would love to have you guys turn out. There's a sign up sheet in the Discord if you want to get involved with that. It's going to be kind of a soft start to finish off this year. And then I think January is when we're going to like set the season, have the teams set in stone, and then see how it all we're this is from the ground up. Like we're basically going to build teams of beginner, intermediate, and advanced players. And there's going to be crew battles that happen like maybe twice a month. And so there'll be points based on how the crew battles do. So that's happening. And, you know, we have a handful of people that are pretty excited about it. And if you, again, the whole idea here is to help you improve at Smash. So all skill levels are welcome. We also have the Animal Crossing monthly event that is happening. That's the last announcement. This month, we will be doing tours. If you want to set up your island like kind of a fairy slash mushroom theme, that's kind of what we're doing. And I don't have the exact date that we'll be doing the tours, but last time it was like 3 hours of going to different islands, checking them out, you know, just kind of seeing how creative you guys can get with your island. And so,
what percentage of that 3 hours was in and out of the airport?
Yeah, right. Like probably an hour and a half. So let's be real. It was just talking the whole time. But I mean, at the point here, like what we're really trying to do is I want to get as much miles out of your guys' games as we can. And I know that means in some cases it's like, well, I have all these single player games I haven't touched yet. I'm still playing Smash. I'm still playing Pokemon. That may end up being the case, but, as much as I can, I just want to continue and grow community around the games that people are the most passionate about and feel like they have a place to hang out. So all that being said, n64josh.com/discord, come hang out. Let's get into what we're playing.
Here we go.
What has Hate Zero been playing?
Man, not as much as I'd like. I was on call for work last week, so I didn't get to spend a lot of time, but I did play a little bit more Pikmin 3. My goal is to eventually beat that game. That eventually might take longer than I was hoping. I was going to try to beat it before the next gen launches, and I did not make it.
What difficulty are you playing on?
Hard, I guess, which hard
is the old normal.
Is the old normal. Yeah. So I'm playing on normal. I thought about doing ultra spicy, but I don't know. I mean, it doesn't.
So I have a question for you. Does that just speed up the day night cycle? Is that all?
It speeds up the day night cycle, and you can only have 60 Pikmin at a time.
Ooh, instead of 100. Oh yeah. Wow! So that would be hard.
Yeah, absolutely. But I remember this game from the Wii U, and there gets to a point where, you know, a day's pretty short as it is and can be challenging. So I was like, I don't think I want to add that to my life right now.
If there was an achievement, maybe I'd do it.
Yeah, you know, a trophy or an achievement or something. There you go, gamer score. Get our gamer scores up. So yeah, that's pretty much been it. I did play a little Among Us with a couple of coworkers today. So I'm ready to play. I understand the game. I know kind of how to play. Although no one ever believes me, and I'm just not good at selling my story. So
that's funny. That's funny. Crawler, how about you? What you been playing?
This last week I picked up Mextermination Force with coins. Like, it was super cheap. It was on sale. So I played a little bit of that. It's kind of a old kind of set piece, arcadey David versus Goliath kind of game. It's pretty fun. So a little bit of that. I'm going through my stuff here. I updated a lot of tiles. So I updated Demon Ex Machina. I haven't gone into that. I know it got a year one anniversary update. Mm-hmm. So I don't know exactly what they offered, but I need to get back into that one a little bit. Played a little bit of Tetris 99 here and there. Put Downwell back in. That was fun. Just playing a little bit of that. I need to pull my Switch out and play on the... I have the Flip Grip, and that's a better way to play that game.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You get the longer vertical screen.
Mm-hmm.
And then some Pikmin 3. I think I just found my blue Pikmin, so I can start doing some underwater stuff. So I have, is that all five types of Pikmin? So red, yellow, rock, fly, winged, and blue. I think that's all.
There's ones, white right? ones.
Are there white ones?
Did you say white?
Not yet. I haven't gotten there yet.
Okay.
So I got a few more to go then. But yeah, it's been fun. My kids, I haven't been playing it without my kids, so both of them enjoy coming down and watching that and playing. Like, they get very antsy about killing off Pikmin at the end of the night, and
I'm trying to think.
The search for Olimar. I won't ruin what Olimar does. He's kind of a bad guy at this stage in the story how far I've gotten. But the boss fight to kind of save him against the bees, that was kind of a difficult fight a little bit. I lost a few Pikmin in that fight.
Interesting.
But yeah, it's good. And then I want to talk to Hate a little bit about, I haven't played it much this week, but William has kind of exhausted the demo on Hyrule Warriors. When that'll come out here in a little bit, but, just like the depth of that game, I feel like it, I know you had talked about how you'd gotten your fill of a Musou game and all that kind of stuff, but I think they put a lot more systems into this game. I think Josh and I talked a little bit about it last week, but just the fact that you have the Sheikah Slate and you can do some of the moves from Breath of the Wild with stasis and bombs and magnesis and all that kind of stuff. It really adds a layer to how you approach combat. And I think it's going to be just a lot. It's going to be a Musou game I kind of want to play all the way through, not just for the story, but like, because I feel like they've added something more to just the hack and slash kill thousands of enemies in one go.
Mm.
So I think it'll be fun.
It's not changing his mind, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate what you're saying. I don't know. I mean, I'll check out reviews and I'll probably watch some streams, because yeah, maybe it does get better and less repetitive. But that demo did not paint it in a light that I wanted to see more of it.
It was in the news this week because apparently it dips down to 10 frames.
Yeah, I saw some of those slowdowns, and I was like, yeah, you could tell Nintendo didn't make this.
But that being said, like, one, a lot of, like, we've seen this before, and then there's a day one patch when these games come out and they're actually released. Like, and this is the unfortunate thing is the reviewers get these games ahead of time. This patch,
they don't have the
out,
day one patch.
Yep. And then it gets, you know, it reflects the review. I don't know. It's a little bit of a flawed system because you have some people that are like, I'm not playing anything that runs less than 30 or less than 60 frames a second, you know, and you know what I mean? Like, and yeah. So
no, they exist.
Yeah. So it's just, I don't know. I saw this and I was just like, part of me is worried because this game came out on the 3DS, and if you didn't have a new 3DS, it wasn't really optimized for it, and it ran like a picture show. And if I don't want to see that happen again, because I do feel like so far we've had pretty good outings from everybody putting out third party games for Nintendo, or these third parties putting out first party IP, and I want to see that continue. I want to see that going forward. And I mean, I think Nintendo would have delayed it if it was like going to be so bad, you know?
Yeah. And I don't know. I've never really let that, unless a game's just completely broken. If it's a game I want to play, I've never let, some frame drops or screen tears here and there deter me from buying or playing a game. Like that seems silly to me. I understand some people are, fidelity nerds and that's all they care about.
The Switch isn't your system then.
Well, there's that too. Yeah. Probably not for you. I did notice that in the demo. You could see it pretty early on. Like one of the first battles you go and you kind of see the dips. I don't know. I don't know if it
was with Impa. Down. It was with Impa when she has all of those, like the blue ghost,
the clones of her. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where the frames were dipping so bad.
Yeah, makes sense. There's a lot of stuff happening on the screen. I get it. I just, that wouldn't bother me. If it happens sometimes, that's not the end of the world to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't let that stop you from playing a great game or having a good experience.
I mean, go look back on the 64. Anytime there was an explosion on GoldenEye or Perfect Dark, that was like, I mean, it almost came to a complete halt. You were just like,
Sometimes it did come to a complete halt.
it really did. I used to play with the Game Shark, and I could play on levels I wasn't supposed to, or play with double items and like double rockets and
You could break it. Go play in Temple with proximity mines and go stack them up all over the place, and thing chugged at like 5 frames a second.
It really did. It really did. So
it was worth it, though. It was always cool to see like how much stuff you could stack in and how many frames you could make it lose. Like that was part of the fun.
Exactly. Exactly. So, as far as I've been playing, guys, I've been playing Pokemon. I did the crown. I've been jumping into the Crown Tundra a little bit more. I've kind of been bitten by the Pokemon bug. Like I mentioned in the last week's episode, I'm having a good time with the game, learning more about the game. I'll be honest, on the surface, looking at Pokemon, like kind of on the surface, and even just playing through the games like most of us have probably done, you kind of just look at it and go, it's a little bit, it's kind of a kid's game, right? Then you start learning about this competitive stuff and you're like, okay, there's a chess match going on here, right? And again, as I'm getting further down the rabbit hole, I'm enjoying the series more and more and more. Like it there's just so much that they do. Like I had to go in and do this battle tower thing today so that I could unlock a way to see the IVs of the Pokemon to see basically how they ranked, like each one that you catch, like how good is it? And so what's going to happen now that I'm going to learn about breeding is that we'll be able to tell, hey, this is one that you can put on your team, or no, this is one you don't want on the team. And so, yeah, but it's kind of cool because I'm also connecting with some other people in the community that have, when I played through Let's Go, when I played through Sword, they were around a lot, and then I don't see them quite as often. But I'm getting together with somebody tonight after this show because he's like, I have every Pokemon in my home, like in the Pokemon home, and we can, I'll get you set up. Like, I'll just give you everything that you need. So we're going to jump in a Discord call after the show tonight and actually fire up the DS, the 3DS, because we need Pokemon Bank in order for that to work. And so we're going to wheel and deal. And so I'm looking forward to it because one, I'll still go out and catch the Pokemon. It's fine. But two, like I didn't experience anything with the bank. Like I'm learning about some of these, all these little novelties that are tied to this game, all these little like after party or like aftermarket devices where you can like catch Pokemon on a tiny little screen. And I'm still curious. There's one out on the wild that I don't even know what it is, but it has its own little D-pad and it kind of looks like a Tamagotchi or whatever, but it's something Pokemon related. I gotta do a little more research, but so I'm having a good time with it. And from being on TikTok so much, I've been seeing like, there's people that are so into the cards, just opening the cards. We got people in our community, Hidden Level. That's what he likes to do. He just opens card packs and showcases that for his videos and his content. And so I'm also from, you know, from an entrepreneurial standpoint, just looking at the Pokemon Company and going, they've got so many like different revenue streams, and like the way they're doing this, and it's good to me. It's good business. I understand there's people that are upset about the National Pokedex, that kind of stuff, but they do seem fairly like community focused, and like they know what the community likes, and that's what they continue to do. And I know there's cartoons, movies. I mean, Detective Pikachu, like, I actually want to go back and watch it again now that I've played the games a little bit more,
because now that, like, you can name a few characters
correctly, you know. Oh my gosh, if you guys don't, if even if you don't follow me on Instagram or TikTok, go and look up, I have a video where this Pokemon shows up and it looks like Chicken Little with these thick thighs. And I was like, oh, that one's definitely named Thicken Little. Like, that's definitely the name of that crawler shaking his head. I was like, yeah, I'll see myself out. Right. But we were having a good time. Like, we did that event on Sunday, and it was a blast just having different people come in and want to do these Dynamax adventures with me. Like, I don't know. It was fun. And Mario Kart, don't get me, it's a blast, but I mean, sometimes we sweat in Mario Kart. It's like, it's so sweaty. Crawler, last night was pretty sweaty, wasn't it?
A little bit sweaty, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit sweaty.
I went like second to 11th or something like that in just like the last turn.
Yeah, it gets wild. And so this is a much more casual experience. And I feel like the cost of entry to have people join is pretty simple. I don't have to add them on my friends list, which is just a headache because of my friends list being full, and they can just punch in a code and we can play, we can trade. Like, I don't know. I just feel like they do so many things right. And so I'm excited to dig a little deeper. And honestly, I hope I'm kind of laying the groundwork for when this MOBA comes out, because I would really like to dive into that. And I feel like the competitive side of me is going to really enjoy that game.
Something I want to play when it comes out.
Yeah,
even though I don't like a ton of, or know a ton about Pokemon, like the little bit I do, and the recognize, like, just the ability to recognize some of the Gen 1 and some of the other front runner kind of Pokemon that have been out there, like, it'll be easy enough to pick up, hopefully, and hopefully that game's coming sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I hope so. So, as far as the games I played, you know, Mario Kart, of course, Pokemon. I even fired up Pokemon Go so I could make some of this event happen on Sunday. Here's what I did. And I actually was thinking a lot about Eric when I did this. But I fired up my Xbox and just sat on my couch with my surround sound and played my Xbox, right? And I'm like, I haven't done this in forever. And because Saturday I was wicked dizzy. I had to just kind of lay around most of the day. And so I'm on the couch. I'm like, you know, I grabbed the Xbox controller. It doesn't even work. Like, the right stick doesn't, the left stick doesn't click in anymore. Like, you gotta baby it a little bit. And I'm just like, oh my word, this is crazy. But I fired up the Fall of Cybertron, the Transformers game. And it's a game I played through on the 360, and I had a save. I picked this game up periodically, like once every like 6 months or even once a year. But this time because it's basically Gears of War mixed with Transformers. Like, High Moon Studios did such a great job with this game that I do want to just let everybody know. Like, I'm wearing a Transformer shirt right now. If you're just listening, it's got Optimus Prime riding Grimlock. It's like one of my favorite shirts. And like, you get to play as the Combaticons and form Bruticus or whatever, and just walk through just destroying stuff and like basically kicking little Transformers through the air. And like, it's a really well produced, like, it's a really well done game. And it's one of those games that was kind of like, I feel like it's almost like it has a cult following, but there's not. And the thing is, it had incredible multiplayer. I mean, imagine Gears of War with like like 15 different types of weapons and then also turning into a vehicle, whether it be a flying or a car, and you can just, you can move around the map, get behind, do your flank. Like,
are those servers shut down now?
No, I don't believe so. I don't believe so, but I don't, I mean, the last time I did the multiplayer, I think it was a little bit slim pickings, I think so. But this is an actual Xbox One, like, remake of the game. I think it's on PlayStation 4 as well. And they don't have the first game. It's only the second one, but, yeah, they're really well done. The other game I made it to level like 104 on Fortnite. So, Bell's in chat right there and Jen and sometimes Jay Harley and sometimes, another friend named Waffles. We've been playing just grinding Fortnite till like 2 a.m. sometimes. Like, it's absolutely insane that I'm playing Fortnite, but like, it feels like the old days. Like, Eric, you remember, we would play till 5 a.m. till, you know, it's like, well, I got to go to work in 2 hours. Right. I remember some days it was like, well, it's 7. I need to leave for work. Like, I didn't even go to sleep.
Do you remember, I don't know if you were there, but do you remember the time Silky called in sick to work? We played so long that he called in sick to work and he forgot to mute his mic. Yes.
That's like me playing when I was playing Destiny 1, like when raids would come out or something like that.
Yep.
Up until 4 or 5 a.m. You didn't want to be that guy that quit on the raid group. Yeah,
first one off.
Let 5 other people down.
Well, and here's the thing, like this Silky guy that Eric's talking about. Like,
Silky was the man.
Eric and I would play Project Gotham. And we would go like Nurburing, right? Is that, did I say it correctly?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so Nurburing. This guy was so bad that Eric and I would pick Mini Coopers and he would be in a Ferrari and we would still like have to drive backwards, be like, are you back here? Are you okay? And we would still beat him in our Mini Coopers. So,
but Silky was the best to have around because he wasn't good at Rainbow Six either, but he would just talk massive junk to the other team. And just get in their heads and make them mad. And like, they would start yelling at him, like, it's not even you playing. Like, you're not even doing anything. You're dead. And it was a lot of fun. He was great to have around.
The heyday of open mics in lobbies, right?
Yep. Yeah. Classic. Yeah. You don't have that anymore. Now lobbies are just dead silent.
You see the shade from Bell in chat there? So the way I play Fort. Wow. Wow. Just that bad. So. But yeah, so all that to be said, like for myself, and I may have even said it last week, but it's just, there's been this, I don't know, just kind of this renewed love for the hobby, right? To where like I'm playing Smash again. I love Smash. I'm playing it by myself at times so that I can really practice. And then I'm playing it with the community, right? These late night Fortnite romps, you know, it's like the old times, right? But I look over at my wife and she's like, you know, got this Animal Crossing Switch and her Apple earbuds in, and she's like, okay, you guys are gonna believe this. We've been playing shooters for so long that you hold left trigger to ADS. Well, her last main shooter was like GoldenEye Perfect Dark. Like, she played some others with me, but she never really got into them. She's getting kills.
Non-ADS.
Didn't even know how to ADS until like 2 nights ago. And she's like, this is so much easier now. We did not know.
This is so much easier.
I did not know how she was even, like, everything from the hip. Everything from the hip. So, I don't know.
That's insane. That's insanity.
Yeah, it really has been. So it's been a good time. It's been a good time. So I mean, and even we kind of started getting this ball rolling a little bit, like when we did the Killer Queen Black event, right? And just getting, and I've had people, they're like, when are you guys doing it again? So we got to pick a date and we got to do Killer Queen Black again because that was fun. There's the Mario Tennis event coming up. We should probably set up a practice day. Because I think it's next week. So we'll just stay tuned to the Discord, guys, but we'll set up a practice day where we can all get together and just, you know, whether we 1v1 each other or do doubles or however we do it. But
if there's enough of us on, we might actually be able to do rank, like the actual lobby, like matchmake,
do the tournaments. Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, so it's just, it's been really, really fun just kind of getting back to, you know, what gaming was about when I was even just in, you know, my 20s, things like that, when online gaming was just becoming a thing. And it's been good. So with that, I think we're going to touch on a quick few news pieces and then we'll get into our talking points. So the Game & Watch, that's not pre-orderable, but coming out on
comes out this week
on Friday,
3 days.
Yeah. Is shipping with a language error. I don't have the exact description in front of me, but essentially, if you pick German, it will give you Spanish, and if you pick French, it'll give you German, and if you pick Spanish, it'll give you French, or whatever the case may be. So, so just be aware of this. They tweeted it out today with a link that will tell you which one you need to pick in order to. In order to have the right language settings in this thing. This is so bizarre. I almost wonder if they did it on purpose as a way to show, like, hey, remember back in the old days? We couldn't fix anything, so we're not going to do it again. Like,
So it makes me wonder, like, this thing has a USB-C port on it, right, for charging. It makes me wonder if you do have the means... if you can hook it up and have a firmware update.
Oh, eventually. Someone's going to have that system hacked by it'll be Friday hacked. Afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be jailbroken and people will put more.
Yeah. They'll run Doom on it.
Yeah.
You got to run Doom on everything.
Do you see that guy that ran Doom on a digital pregnancy test?
Yeah. And someone else ran Doom. The DualSense PlayStation controllers have the haptic, vibration, so you can play the entire Doom song on the controller and hear it. It just play, you know, the rumble acts as a speaker.
That's amazing. So,
I mean, he can probably do that. He could probably do that with the Joy-Cons because they have enough frequency.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you could.
So there you go. We don't know. Like, good luck, everybody, this weekend.
I'm hoping it's available.
Yeah, we're all gonna try. We're all going to try to get our hands on one of these things. Supposedly they're available till March. So, I mean, Nintendo went through this with the NES Classic and the SNES Classic. So hopefully there's enough of them in the wild for everybody. We'll just have to wait and see. I don't know. So,
yeah, I'm not going to go out of my way to get one. I'm not going to do anything drastic. So the most I will do is put it in my cart and order it. And if I can do that, I will buy this thing. So, you know, it's something cool to have. It's not something I think I would play all the time, but
I want it for really the novelty.
Cool, yeah, it's cool to have. Mm-hmm. And I want to play that clock game I hear so much about.
I want to see what the 30 features are that they haven't mentioned anything about. They're like, discover them. So,
right. I just want to take photos of it next to my Famicom
Micro,
you know, the Game Boy Micro. Like that's kind of some of the stuff I'm looking forward to with this thing. So, Crawler, you put something here about the Hori adaptive controller for Switch.
So this came out, it was shown off last week. But I guess it's reading this article. I guess it is something Hori has made for PC gaming that they've adapted for the Switch. So it's kind of the vein. If you've seen the Xbox adaptive controller, where it's a big pad with bigger accessible buttons, but then it also has these 3.5 millimeter jacks all throughout the controller that have different peripherals that can plug in via that cable. Mm-hmm. And you can have bigger single buttons or easier to handle joystick or something like that. It just makes video games more accessible to anybody. So if you're needing adaptiveness if you're an amputee and missing a second hand to play with, and you have the ability to play with these bigger buttons, then you can still partake in a lot of video games would be able to be accessible to you this way. So it's good that these options are coming to Switch. I don't know
Do you know, I haven't looked much at the Hori Adaptive Controller, but do you know if it's kind of on par with Xboxes?
From like what
as far as it can, because the Xbox One's pretty, very adaptive. Yeah, it's very adaptive.
A side picture of this thing has every single button has a 3.5 millimeter jack on it. So you have the plus, the minus, the capture button even, and the triggers and the D-pad and the joy, it's everything.
Because I've seen one person set up to where they can play like with one hand and both of their feet, because like they were missing a full arm, and so they were running some of the buttons with their feet, and I was like, man, that's so awesome. That's cool. That's very cool.
Because I think even the Xbox One, you can use whatever you can use, like part of the gamepad. I think you can have it be an add-on kind of as the same controller, I think, even. Because I think it has, at least on the Xbox One, it has a port, I think, to plug in the controller. And whatever you can't use can be supplemented by these bigger buttons that you use. So it's good that it just opens up gaming to more people.
Absolutely. It's amazing. I love it. Well, the last thing I want to touch on real quick for news-wise, anyway, is there was talks a few weeks ago about this possible mini LED screen, right? Did you see this,
Aaron? I remember you talking to me about it.
So I've kind of been, you know, just seeing what other people say about it. And some people are like, look, Apple hasn't even adopted this thing yet, so there's no way Nintendo will do it. And so, but this is something that you've wanted this forever, as far as just a screen that is brighter I'm assuming it's a screen that would be brighter in sunlight. It's not the OLEDs. It's kind of similar. You're also going to get better blacks, brighter screen, you know, and better battery life, because you don't have, you're not wasting resources. Everything is kind of going to where it's supposed to be going, apparently. So,
all I want out of a Switch Pro, honestly, is basically an OLED screen. If I get an OLED screen, that changes the Switch from something that I can't play at all in the sun to something I can now take on vacations and play anywhere. And that'd be huge. And it would improve your battery life. It'd look better. Like it'd just be great.
That OLED screen is what made the Vita so sharp, right?
Yeah, the initial Vita, because they made a second run of the Vita without it. But initially it came with the OLED screen, and it was gorgeous. Like the screen looks just phenomenal.
Interesting. So, all right, with that, let's move on over to our talking points. All right. These were questions that that Hate put in the Discord last week that Carl and I just never ended up getting to. So I'm going to let you kind of kick these things off, Eric.
Yeah, so two different questions. But so we talked a little bit a couple weeks ago about, you know, this new cloud gaming that the Switch is adopting slowly. And, you know, specifically with Hitman coming out and Control. So do we think we will ever see an official Nintendo game utilizing that cloud gaming? Like, do you think a Metroid Prime 4, you know, something that's a, you know, powerhouse of a game, do you think we see it move this direction? Because then it can play regardless of limitations.
So knee-jerk reaction is no. But once you say that, and I'm thinking about this, and I was listening to some other podcasts this week, and they were talking about when we think Metroid Prime 4 is going to come out, and some of those predictions were around a Switch Pro system potential release, and that kind of makes sense. And for me, that would be a good way to bridge something like that. If the hardware of a OG Switch, and now that we have, I don't think that the internal hardware is necessarily different on the original Switch and the new Switch. I think it's just mainly the screen and battery life. Is that right?
Yeah, so, I think the processor's clocked a tiny bit higher. Not enough to
make a difference.
Yeah.
But if there's a big enough gap, that would be new 3DS versus old 3DS, like, that couldn't play specific stuff that Nintendo put out, I would want to see maybe not full cloud gaming, but some kind of cloud support that would do some of the heavy lifting in the background. That would make the game, you could still buy the game on a cart, and if you had an OG Switch, you'd put it in and it would, I don't know what kind of magic they could work, but I'm sure something to lift some of that processing power in the background so that your Switch didn't become a furnace on your lap if you were doing that handheld or something like that. So, I mean, initial knee-jerk reaction is Nintendo, I don't think, would be stupid enough to do that. But then if it comes down to separating games out of the player base, which is just going to grow because we're at, 64 million or something like that right now. It's just going to go up. They don't want to alienate those people that aren't buying the new Switch. So I would think they would find a way to make that work. And if this technology can prove that it can do what it is intending to do, then yeah, they'd probably take advantage of that.
It's been a crazy, since we talked about this last time, the different sides of the fence that everybody's on, you know, like even looking at chat right now, Bell saying it'd be a great idea, but I don't know if they would do it anytime soon, you know, and then talking about like if AC, you know, was like how big a world in AC, like Animal Crossing could be with just having, because I don't know why, I don't know if they had to limit the size based. I mean, I know right now on my island running around, stuff like glitches in because it's I have too much stuff out for decorations, you know? So maybe it could help some of these games run a little bit smoother, but it's just the responses have been either like, hey, I bought this and I was excited about it, even though I already, like, we're talking about Control, I already had it on the PlayStation, but my internet wasn't good enough, to where in the other side of the fence where people are like, this is the worst thing ever, I don't, like, why are you talking about this in a positive light, you know? But like, it's we're at an interesting time with gaming because like I don't know that the infrastructure is there, you know, internet wise to make it all work. Even I know SpaceX or whatever, I think that's who's doing it, wants to get
Elon Musk.
Yeah. Wants to get internet everywhere. But even that, the ping on it is still like, it's relatively
and
high, I think as far as for
gaming, think would be terrible on it.
Yeah.
And the ping isn't the greatest, but also the speed is only like 125 megs or something like that too. It's good. It's good for satellite internet, but it's not great. It's not on par yet.
Yeah.
So something to think about is Nintendo is a Japanese company. They don't have those challenges in Japan like we do. Not to the same degree, right? Japan is a pretty connected society, and they've got pretty solid internet.
Because they have wireless access points like all throughout the country.
Yeah, and you know, the cities are probably, you know, are obviously going to be better access than the countryside. But you know, for the most part, the people who are buying games over there have access to good internet. You can't really say that in America, but the answer you gave, Crawler, not the initial answer, but the Metroid answer, that was exactly what I was thinking of how I would see Nintendo doing this, which is, because we talked about it before, like, the biggest thing I said is if they give us a Switch Pro, it better not separate the demographic, right? Like, our player base needs to stay together. Well, this wasn't really in my mind when we were talking about it, but in hindsight, it's like, okay, so they could do a powerful Switch Pro or whatever they want to call it. And for those games, maybe for single player, it doesn't utilize this, but for, you know, multiplayer, to give it that extra oomph, it uses this. Cause I think that's how Crackdown 3 was one of the first games to use this. And I know the game didn't score favorably, but I believe it only used it for multiplayer, if that was right. The
It was for that. It was for the taking down of the buildings and all that kind of crazy stuff, right?
Yeah, and
but
so
even
so,
but that game even got delayed like two years too, and then it still didn't sure. pan out as well as it could have. But it, they right. were ahead of their time too.
They were, and the technology was kind of in its infancy. I mean, that was, you know, a few years back now. So I'm starting to think like, okay, maybe Metroid Prime 4 on the regular Switch, you can play the single player. Similar to how Perfect Dark was, though, if you want to play multiplayer, we need some help, right? Like, it just can't play it on the regular Switch.
Right.
So that's where this cloud could help supplement that. That's your new expansion pack, so to say. And that's how we see the Switch Pro come into...
I would almost want to see that flip-flopped.
Whatever the case.
Because I would want to see... Because, I mean, when we were talking about this 2 weeks ago, like, the worry with cloud gaming is we don't know... how it's going to look like short of Stadia, which I think has had hit or miss stuff. And xCloud seems to be okay. At least the little bit I played on my phone in the beta, with Master Chief Collection or whatever, just a little bit, the multiplayer seemed to run okay, but that was on my home internet. So it's like, okay. You got to take that with a grain of salt, but like, we want to see more. We've been talking about the single player games that we've been seeing, so AC, Assassin's Creed Odyssey overseas, and Resident Evil over in Japan, and then two single player games here with Control and Hitman. But like, I'd want to see higher fidelity and bigger, better set pieces for single player Metroid Prime, and then maybe you take a graphical like Doom for Switch kind of hit on multiplayer, but that information is on the cart in the system running on your hardware so that you can focus on Nintendo's subpar peer-to-peer matchmaking system. And you just complain about that being in its natural state that everybody has, and you don't have the added latency of ping to another server and then ping to somebody else as well. I think that's how it would work maybe a little bit better, but then that opens up the possibility to the developers to do those bigger set pieces inside the single player campaign, whereas a multiplayer like arena map is going to be more confined into a set parameter that can probably still run on the hardware.
Remember, we are just podcasters discussing this, right? We have no poll. We probably don't have any idea what we're talking about, so don't, you know.
And we're also not saying we want this. We're just talking about possibilities. Yeah. So when you send us that email, you know who you are. Just go easy on us. So yeah, that was just kind of something I'd been thinking about since Control, it ran pretty well from our vantage point, you know, sitting in our ivory towers. I thought it worked fairly well. So I was thinking this could be a way that Nintendo leverages, you know, that transition to, you know, a Switch Pro or Switch 2 or whatever they want to do. You know, I don't know how they're going to do this console life cycle, but however they do it, that could be something in their arsenal to kind of smooth it over for people.
I'm going to kind of transition us a little bit.
Okay.
It's still kind of in the same topic somewhat. It's not necessarily cloud gaming, but I've been playing a lot of Fortnite and dealing with a season pass. And I also play a lot of Mario Kart.
Mm-hmm.
What would you guys think if Nintendo did a free-to-play Mario Kart that was good, not like Tour, right? That was fun to play.
You scared me.
On the Switch, right? That had a season pass. Now, Epic is interesting to me because they're doing very well, right? The season pass you can pay for every month just by playing the game. So like, I know for me personally, I would have no problem unlocking all kinds of really cool stuff.
You buy it once and you get enough currency. If you're not buying other supplemental stuff, you make enough in Fortnite in the season pass to buy the new season pass.
Right. And so But then I see some of their skins that are $20 each, and I'm like, this is kind of a ripoff. You know what I mean? Like, for me anyway, maybe some people think that's a steal. I don't know, but I know the few that I've bought have been like, I'll buy the starter pack. Typically it's like one skin, you get like 600 V-Bucks and then like a backpack and a hammer or something, you know? So I'm like, that's
more epic. Or Epic shells out the big money for big licenses, and they get me to pay money for Star Wars skins. I don't. Yeah, and, I mean, they got my money for that kind of stuff.
The chat is going crazy right now. Like, the first question is, but are you going to let Mario change his outfits? Okay, so it's interesting. But in Mario Kart Live, you do get different outfits, and it's kind of fun playing dress up with Mario a little bit, huh. You know, like making him.
Did you change his outfits in Odyssey?
Yeah, I did to like 64, and I mean,
so no,
I did a little bit. I thought it was kind of fun. So, but you know, Patuli's like, but they're just stealing their dad's debit card. You know, and Belle says the kids don't care about the cost; the parents just pay it. And that may be the case, but I don't feel like this means Mario Kart 9 wouldn't show up, because look at what Activision did with Call of Duty. They released Call of Duty, and then they put out Warzone, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Different though, because I mean, unless you're talking about going for a Mario Kart Battle Royale, they're going to basically be the same thing, right? A race is a race at the end of the day with carts. So unless they're going to change the core mechanics, or I guess not the core mechanics, but change the game to, you know, those battle levels we used to get on Super Mario Kart and stuff.
Well, if you were given different objectives, like hit, you know, 10 green shells for this daily challenge, right? There could be that variety put into your like, you have a list of things you have to accomplish in Fortnite, right? It's like, well, you need
they almost kind of already have that in 8. They had like the 10,000 coins got you the gold glider or whatever it was. There was right. different yeah. milestones and objectives to hit to unlock the other aspects of the carts, but yeah, it would have to be a ton more cosmetic and carts and other things. And the biggest takeaway from all that kind of stuff is Fortnite and Warzone and all that kind of stuff, the cosmetic stuff doesn't change performance. And this is something I think you and I, especially Josh, would agree on, that I want to see the little wheel meta or whatever, the stats, I almost want to see it leveled out and just make it cosmetic and let people dress their carts up how they want. Feel like we would see a lot less
Bitty Buggy and Azure
Wheels. Or at least, if they want to stick with some things, do 3 set meta, like you have the ultra fast acceleration but lower top speed and handling. Like you have an acceleration build, a handling build, and a top speed build or something like that, and you can choose, but you can dress your card up however you want and it doesn't affect
the other
stats there.
They could make a mode that was a battle royale. That, like, we talked about it with Super Mario Brothers 35. Is you race and you have a timer that's 2 minutes. Everybody's racing, and then after that point, when you're in last, you get ejected, right? Like you just maybe yep. that, and maybe it's their track similar to like Mount Wario or something. You know, to where like it's falling off behind you. I don't know exactly how they would do it. I'm just speaking off the cuff. But
when you said that, I could see like a storm coming behind you, and it's just like a teleportation portal at the bottom of those point A to point B racetracks, and they just do more of those, and you just keep going all the way down until somebody's in. You got to keep up with the storm, otherwise you're out.
There would be ways, I think, to make it kind of creative and fun. I mean, the possibilities are endless, right? Maybe your cart takes damage over time, so it slows you down. Maybe you have to get they could really take. I mean, Mario Kart has made it has progressed through the years, but it's like, hey, we've added a glider, and hey, we added wheels that. But there's never been any like real huge jump, right? No real massive like let's shake this series up a little bit. But I would love to be playing Mario Kart month after month, working towards something other than just VR points or whatever, or VC, whatever they are. I can't even remember. That's the carrot on the stick right now. Just to get, could you imagine if you were getting different skins and then, you know, a year, like right now I jump into Fortnite, I see all these people with different skins and I'm like, oh, I remember that season, or oh, I wish I didn't play back then. You know, you get FOMO going, you get, you know, things like that where it's like, I don't know. I feel like that would be their, I mean, it's the series they don't seem to mind taking and like putting it out in other places. And it's like, I'd like to see them take, they're dipping their toes in the battle royales with like Tetris 99, like take your biggest franchise and make it a games as a service. I know we're going to get tweets and emails that people aren't going to like this, but as somebody that plays Mario Kart on the regular, I would gladly shell out, you know, cash for exclusive carts and a season pass to where it was like,
it'd be great for someone like me because I never buy into any of those. Like I played over 100 hours of PUBG and didn't spend a dollar. You know, I don't care about the cosmetic items at all. You know, the base character is fine for me as long as it's not, you know, pay to win.
Right.
And so for Mario Kart, yeah, I mean, that'd be awesome for me. I'd get to play. I would even play or pay a small install price, you know, to get that game. And you know, like if they made that not a $60 title, but a $20 title with those, you know, cosmetic transactions, that wouldn't hurt my feelings that much either.
Mm-hmm.
Other people might disagree.
I would be okay with the Apex model where it's like the base game is free with X number of characters available to you. But if you want the full roster, you have to shell out a little bit of money. But then they also still have the.
But you can still work in Apex to get those characters.
You can earn in-game currency if you grind it. Yeah.
So, like that's fine because you know that's good for me because that gives me an incentive to keep playing the game. Because what ends up happening with games like that for me, if I were to shell out real money, I would get everything I want, and then I would lose all incentive because. The game is not always incentive enough to play the game for me.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if I'm working towards a goal, like I want to save up to get this character, that gives me that motivation to keep going.
Right.
And so I do like that.
Yeah. Bell's asking like about the meta and as far as the speeds of the cars and that's exactly right. That's basically Fortnite is an even playing field. You drop where you drop. It is RNG based on what you're going to get as far as your gun. But my gold gun is going to do the same as your gold gun. If it's the, you know, there's no power boost based on my level or anything like that. And so, whereas right now in Mario Kart, if you pick certain builds, you can have more acceleration. You can get your mini turbos faster, you know, so there, it turns into a meta that everybody wants to play people that are really trying to compete will play that. And so, and where people have a huge issue is where you could purchase something that would allow your cart to go faster or your gun to be more powerful. Yeah. And the
other thing on Mario Kart, at least Mario Kart 8 right now, is the fact that there's out of the stats that are in the game for you to see, there's hidden stats that you can't see. And you have to go to a website if you want to look it up and see what the additional values are that you get out of doing certain builds. So I would just want to see all the cards out on the table if we're going to do something like that.
Well, and maybe Mario Kart 9 is a $60 purchase. Maybe the multiplayer that we're talking about is something that is free for everybody, just like Warzone is. But then if you have 9, you get some perks for having that game on top of, you know, a season pass or something like that. And I mean, Fortnite season pass is like $8. It's pretty affordable.
Yeah.
As far
Fortnite wasn't free to start. they had a disastrous launch. It was mm-hmm. Save the World, and they pivoted and they came up with Battle Royale, and they still sell the Save the World game, and you can play it if you want. Not a whole lot of people do, but you can get some perks out of it. If you do your daily logins, you can get V-Bucks to be able to buy stuff if you paid that money for the yeah. Save the World. So they can have and Warzone has done that too, where the base campaign and Search and Destroy and Deathmatch, all that kind of stuff in Call of Duty is locked behind the $60 game, but Warzone, and if they I think Cold War is keeping Warzone with it. I think they might have a new map or something like that coming out.
Right.
But it's still going to be free and it's still segmented off, so you can download it wherever, and it's free. So they've found ways to segment that off, but also have things tied in with whatever you're purchasing.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that Nintendo would take this risk. I don't know if it's as, I don't like how popular is Fortnite in Japan, you know, I don't know. But I mean, if they look at that business model, they have to go, yeah, this is working. It's working for Activision. It's working for EA. Mario Kart's they've shown us that they have the ability with Tour to continually put that lure out and to put out costumes, to put out different carts. And that's what makes me think, like, why not take this full step, maybe upgrade Tour so that it runs on the Switch and is its own game, not tied to the mobile and not the gacha mechanics. I don't want that garbage at all.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm sure Nintendo of Japan is a little bit aware of the money Fortnite makes because they get their small cut out of the eShop that people are buying V-Bucks through. So I'm sure they're seeing the success. It's just a matter of,
they tweeted out. They're doing their part to make sure that people are buying Fortnite goods through the Switch and not somewhere else, you know, like,
well, yeah. And I don't remember what the stats were back. Was that E3? Was that 2018 E3 or 2019 that Fortnite came to Switch?
I feel like it was 18. I think it was 18.
I mean, the stats on that day alone of just the amount of downloads that they had was, I mean, I think it set records.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's...
And the stats of Mario Kart being half the install base has this mm-hmm. game on their system. Like, why not put every Switch? Why not have Mario Kart on every Switch? Because it's free to play. Because
it's there and it's free. And it's the first thing you can... If you're downloading a first-party game instead of a third-party game out of the box because it's free to play, that's more exposure and more chance for you to have that ad that, or that revenue from cosmetic stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. There are probably people that are going to stop listening after this episode.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, we just want more Mario Kart in some fashion, whether that's Mario Kart 9, whether that's Mario Kart Battle Royale or whatever they're going to call it, or, you know, 35. If they do Mario Kart 35, I'd be real happy too. Like, that could be a lot of fun.
Josh is just saying this. He wants Mario Kart free because he's bought it 8 times or whatever. So
buy 8, get 1 free.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, let's wrap this thing up here. Hey, where can people find you?
You'll find me on Discord. Full stop. No cap. Right? Did I do it right?
Yes.
Was that right?
Boomer, you nailed it. You nailed it. Was that good? That just good. Hit different. So, you know.
That does hit different. And there's another one I missed. So you'll find me on Discord, n64josh.com/Discord. Come hang out with us. We say lots of cool lingo like that. It's pretty yeet. Pretty yeet up in there. No, so come join us. Yeet. Right? Is that it? Am I doing it?
No, you're not. You're not. Oh no, I hope Patuli's gonna be okay. Crawler, where can we?
It is yeet in there.
Before we yeet hate off the show, how where can we find you?
The best spot is hanging out in the Discord, n64josh.com/Discord. We can put hate in his own little corner, don't worry. But yeah, today I got back into Destiny. So if you're playing Destiny, come hit me up. I'm playing on PC and Xbox. So
we have a server, right, in the Discord for Destiny.
If we didn't delete it last week when we did our purge.
Oh, yeah. We'll put something back if people are wanting to play. So, oh my gosh, guys, yeah. You can follow me everywhere at N64Josh. If you need Mario Kart tips, head over to my TikTok or my Instagram. I'm posting in both places. TikTok has more of them because I can post minute long videos there versus as far as reels on Instagram, I can only do 30 seconds. So there's more over on TikTok. We're doing so much. Like, there's so much stuff happening. We need people to get involved, honestly. Like, if you want to get involved with the Smash League, hit me up. We're looking for coaches. We're looking for people to just kind of facilitate things. If you're interested in like a Pokemon League that I've mentioned, like, I just need to start getting people that want to kind of step up to do this kind of stuff, and I'll get all the pieces in the right places for you, so that we can start working towards building some of these community based, you know, leagues or whatever the case may be. So, but I will literally wear out if I try to do this all on my own. It's just I'll be spread way too thin. So I don't want to do that. But I'm loving the excitement of the community as we are getting more and more involved with these different games. So we are going to be doing tennis at some point. Stay in, like, get in the Discord to find out when we'll. I don't know. Maybe we'll even kind of. I think we could probably dress up in some tennis attire for this. What do you think? Like some visors and headbands and stuff. And yeah, I think
that could be good.
I think that needs to happen. So stay tuned for that in the Discord. We love you guys. Bye now.